Amen. If you're a visitor here with us today, I want to let you know my name's Andy Thornton. I'm the teaching pastor, and that guy who just sang also preaches. He's our senior pastor, and he can preach too. I don't know. God just dumped a whole lot of talent on him, and my goodness. This is all I got, Hosey. This is it. I can't preach. I heard a kind lady say as we're going through this transition and stuff, she said, can you sing, Andy? I said, no. And she goes, you might as well move down the road. So I'm taking voice lessons. I'm trying. No, I'm kidding. Oh, my. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the people in this church. God, you have kept your good hand of blessing upon this church for many, many years, and we pray that it will continue to stay many, many years from now. Lord, this church has been a church of unity and a church of peace and a church of happiness and a church of love, and I believe a church of rejuvenation, Lord, and even resurrection of some people who have been hurt in the ministry and in other churches that have come here and found sanctuary, Lord, and I just thank you for this place being what it is, and it is only by your good hand. Father, I pray that as I speak today, again, that I would step aside. We need to hear a word from you, God. We need your spirit to move freely in this room, and we need to apply what we hear today. And I will be the first to say I need to apply this to my life, God. Help us, Lord, to be more and more like you. Lord Jesus, you are the example. So I pray, Lord, as you teach us in ways that we have failed you, in ways that we could do better, that we would not just leave here knowing that we should do better, but that we would leave here doing better, Lord, and living for you and letting our light shine and continually be striving for Christ-centered lives 7 days a week. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is a good morning to be in the house of the Lord. I'm excited to see some weather that actually looks like spring. I don't know about you guys, but I did not want to wake up this morning and it be 32 degrees. So it was a good morning. I broke out my spring suit, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. Travis, you look spiffy. My goodness. Is that pink or purple? It's pink? I mean, it looks good on you, buddy. It's good. Real men wear pink. That's right. That's right. It does look great. And I'm continuing on in this series. I got to preach last week over at Remington's and of course, today here. And as we've started this new series called U-Turn, I just want to remind you real quick, as we're going to be in this series today and also the next 2 weeks. Last week, we talked from Philippians chapter 1. And then today, we're going to hit Philippians chapter 2. Next week is Philippians 3. The week after that would be what? Philippians 4, that's really good. And then we're done. There's no more Philippians. And so we are talking about U-turn, Y-O-U-turn, like you see on that sign behind me. And what that means is that all of us are going down this road in life. We're all traveling, if you will, in like our own cars. And we're traveling down this road, and we're hoping that we are going in the right direction of following Jesus Christ and living the way that he's called us to live. Because if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a believer, then you're a disciple. And as that disciple, you represent Jesus Christ. And so you and I, we both want to represent him well. And so we're constantly evaluating ourselves, looking in the mirror, saying, am I doing what God is wanting me to do? Am I doing what God has commanded me to do? Am I living as Christ would have me live? And if we're not, then what we're giving you in these next 3 weeks is an opportunity to do a U-turn. And some of these areas won't apply to you, but some of them will. I know that today probably applies to most of us, if not all of us. I know it applies to me. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2. And as you're doing so, I'm going to remind you real quick of two things that we talked about last week. So if you missed last week, you could write these down on your notes and at least kind of catch up just a little bit. Two key components that will help us if we take a U-turn in life is to make sure that with us we have unity and we have courage. Unity and courage. And one thing I believe that this church is so incredibly good at is being unified. It feels good to be at a church that is unified. I mentioned in the first service that our church has moved from the chapel to the fellowship center, from the house to the chapel to the fellowship center to this current worship center. And as far as I know, no one ever left the church because the pews were teal in here. No one ever left the church because the carpet was a different color, right? And I love that. I love that that's not an issue. And I know so many churches that that has become an issue. And I love that we are united in this one stance. And this church continually stands that way. And it is because of the good hand of God that has been upon us. That has created the peace. But it's been you doing what God has commanded you to do. And that's to live in unity. And we want to continue on with that and with courage to make sure that we do and will always stand for what the Word of God says. We will never back down from what the Word of God says. Is that not true? Now, we will do it in love. We will do it in love. But we will not make it any less clear. We will not apologize for it. And we will make sure that we read it word for word and stand firm on what the truths of Scripture are. Is that not right? That was weak. That's... Here we go into battle. Maybe tomorrow we'll do. All right. Now let's go to chapter 2. A reminder of the unity. The focus on us last week is unity and courage. We're going to talk about unity just a little bit more in chapter 2 because Paul carries it on there. And then we're going to go to the third thing, which is on past the first couple verses. So follow along as I read the beginning of Philippians 2 in verse 1. It'll be on the screens behind me if you need that. I'm in the New King James Version this morning. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Boy, that's unity, isn't it? Just reeks of unity. I love it. Fulfill my joy, Paul says, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. I want to go to a church that's like that. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The Apostle Paul recognizes the fact that there is some dissension that has happened among this church, the members of this early church. But he doesn't stop there in chapter 1. He talked about unity and he talked about courage. But he continued on with that unified in one spirit, unified in one spirit, unified in oneness together, even into chapter 2. And I believe that the church, the only way that the church is going to be unified is if we are unified in one spirit, is to recognize the spirit that we serve, to be united in one spirit, to follow after the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That unifies us together. So that is our common goal, is to listen and be moved by the Holy Spirit. We will notice in the coming weeks that in chapter 3, the church is being invaded by false teachers. In chapter 4, it's actually people from within experiencing disagreement from those members. And we're going to be talking about those down the road. And maybe some of us fall in that category, and that's where we'll have the opportunity to make a U-turn. But I want to remind us of something before we go any further on this discussion of unity. And it's something that I mentioned last week. Is there's a difference between unity and uniformity. There's a difference between unity and uniformity. So we're going to act different. We're going to smell different. We're going to look different. We're going to smile different. We're going to have different interests. Some of you all like NASCAR. It's just to me like going around in circles again and again and again. But I like golf. So some of you think that's the stupidest thing in the world, right? We have different interests. It doesn't mean that we're united in those things. We are not uniform together, but this is unity. So true spiritual unity comes from within. It is a matter of the heart. That's what we're talking about. Our hearts are unified. Uniformity is the result of pressure from without. So it's the person who says, hey, we should do this, or hey, you should do this, or hey, you. It's that pressure from without, not that burning spirit from within, because remember, the spirit is what unifies us. And this is why Paul takes the first four verses to remind the members of the church that they should be unified because they are in Christ. And this should have completely encouraged them and should encourage us today to strive for unity and love, not division and rivalry. So that's what we strive for, unity and love. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. These verses remind us to have that singleness of mind, that unity. And we have to have also submission of our mind, and that's humility. So the singleness of mind, again, we're covering that from last week, and Paul started it in the first three verses this week. We're talking about that unity that comes together in the Spirit. But now, and this is where we're going to spend the most of our time at this sermon today, is on humility. Humility. And so as I'm studying this sermon, I was thinking to myself, my, Andy, this is one that when you preach it, every single word that comes out of your mouth is, again, preaching it straight to you, to be humble, to be humble, to make sure that we pick up in this scripture where Paul is just focusing on not just being unified together, but showing humility to one another, to having that submission of the mind. Now, it's been said the humble person is not one who thinks meanly of himself. He simply does not think of himself at all. And I got to be honest, I think of myself. I think of myself. What do I want for dinner? What do I want to go here? What do I want to happen with it? What do I want to? And it's I. Verses 3 and 4 remind us as believers that we are to turn our attention to others instead of focusing on ourselves. This is hard to do, guys. This is hard to do. Romans 12:3 reminds us, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So here's my question for today. If you've got notes or whatever, take out your notes, write this down. How do I make a U-turn from being selfish to being humble? How do I make a U-turn from being selfish to being humble? See, because some of us are going to think, well, we just try really hard. But that doesn't work. And so that whole idea of coming back to humility is difficult. And here's what I think. I could be completely wrong with this. But as I do more and more ministry, I find that especially among us that are men, guys in the group, listen to me, guys, we struggle with this more than the women do most of the time. And here's why. It is hard for us to be humble because we do not want to fail. We talked about this in the man food breakfast the other day. Men, we struggle with that idea of pride because we do not want to look soft. We do not want to look like we have backed down. And somehow we have taken the idea of humility and made it like it's a sissy's thing, right, to be humble. And so we kind of put our chest up and our arms out and we're like, I'm a man. You know, when I look at Braveheart, I watch that movie. My best friend in the whole world, who was the best man at my wedding, he rented that movie for me to watch on the night before I got married, is Braveheart. And right when the part came, when Mel Gibson goes, freedom, he said, you better run, Andy, you better run, you know. Humble, man, it's hard to be humble. Now, here's what humility is not. So let's wrap our mind around this. It does not mean that the believer is at the beck and call of everybody else or that he is a religious doormat for everybody to use. See, when you think humility is that way, nobody wants to be humble. Of course you don't want to be humble. It's not that people are going to walk all over you. That's crazy. That's like permissive. There's sicknesses called after that, and you take medicine for it. That's not what Christ is talking about here. On the contrary, Paul says this. He gives us four examples in this chapter of what it means to be humble. And we're going to really deal with the first example because it's the best example. And this is who we focus on today. It's whom we focus on every single Sunday, and his name is Jesus Christ. You heard of him, right? He's a great, awesome example. He is the Son of God, and we're going to look at verse 5 and see what Paul is saying for that first great example. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ means the attitude of Christ that was exhibited. That mind of Christ was the attitude of Christ that was exhibited. So when we look throughout Scripture and we see what Christ did, step 1, 2, 3, and 4, we saw him live his life. That was the mind of Christ. And you may be thinking, okay, so Andy, I get this. You want me to be just like Christ. Well, isn't that going to be pretty hard. I mean, that's all well and good, but how in the world can I possibly be like him? So let me give you the first point of making a U-turn to humility. Number one, we have to change our outlook. The mind of Christ, we have to change our outlook. We have to look through different lenses. When the Bible says in verse 6 that Jesus was in the form of God, it wasn't talking about his physical shape or his size. It was referring to his outward expression of his inward nature. His outward expression of his inward nature. Because he was ready to live. He was ready to minister. He was ready to be humble. He was ready to serve. This was his nature. This is who he was. And so it just flowed right out of him. And that's why we encourage you so often to get into the Word of God on a daily basis, to be doing the 724 challenge or whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to do, to get in the Word of God and interact with God through his Word, to make sure that we are preparing ourselves and changing our human nature into this idea of a spiritual nature that is letting the Holy Spirit take control of who we are. So what comes out is what's inside. And so we need to make sure that we are changing our outlook by feeding in with that Word of God. Now, here's the deal. When we look at Christ, we've got to understand that he didn't need anything. So this whole idea of looking at him as being this humble, he didn't need anything. He was and is equal with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit reign over this entire universe. They lack in nothing. And what's so incredible about verse 6 is the fact that Christ did not consider his equality with God as something selfishly to be held on to. I mean, think about it. He could have said, I'm Jesus Christ. You don't understand. Bow down to me. And we would have bowed down to him. Stop everything and would have stopped. He wanted to be off the cross. He could have been off the cross. If he didn't want to spend, you know, time in the wilderness where he's starving and not, he could have stopped it. I mean, when Satan came and he tempted him to turn the rocks into bread and all that, he could have done it. He is Jesus Christ. He can do anything. But yet he set aside who he was. He set aside that authority. He set aside that right that we would say that we have. And he became humble. And he came down here for others. He came down here for us. Something selfishly to be held on to is not what he took from his equality with God. In other words, Jesus did not think of himself. He thought of others. And that's exactly what we need to do. This is the mind of Christ. An attitude that says, I cannot keep my privileges for myself. I must use them for others. And to do this, I will gladly lay them aside and pay whatever price is necessary. See, I sometimes forget that when God blesses me, he blesses me to be a blessing to others. But sometimes what we do, don't we take that blessing and we put it in our pocket and say, well, that's really good. Thanks, God. I kind of deserved it. I mean, I've kind of been pretty good, you know? And then we start piling up. Yeah, this is pretty good. This is pretty good. I think Cozy has a saying about that. If you sit and soak, you'll sour. Yeah. And so you're just like, here's the blessing. Here's the blessing. Oh, bless. Expand my tent, Lord. And not my waist size, my tent, Lord. Expand it. Bless me, God. Bless. Why? So you can be a blessing to others. That's the key. Not park it in your driveway, not live in it. You give it. You are a blessing to others. Verse 7. It says that Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Taking the form of a servant. Jesus Christ did this. Can you imagine? I was thinking of the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And we in this day and age, we don't understand that because, you know, we take showers every day or a bath or whatever the case is. And so if I washed your feet, it'd probably be all right. You know, now some of you that are teenagers, it's once a week and I wouldn't wash your feet, but there's just... This is different than it was back in that day, to where they would be walking down roads, these rock roads that horses had gone down and cows had gone down and all this kind of stuff all over the roads, and they're wearing sandals and they're sitting down at this dinner, and here's Jesus who goes over to them and does what the lowest servant would have been assigned to do. He gets Jesus. Picture who this is. This is Jesus who gets down on his knees. Down on his knees, you as a disciple are sitting in a chair, you're seeing the top of Jesus's head, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he is down before you, and he's washing your feet. And he's showing them, this is what it's all about. This is, do you want to really expand the kingdom of God? Do you want to really see more and more people come to know Christ? Then instead of us standing up and yelling at them and telling them what they're doing wrong, how about we take the position that Christ took? Yes. And we come down here and we humble ourselves and we come beneath them and we meet their needs and say, what can I do for you? What can I do for others? And again, I'm preaching to myself here. Very rarely do I find myself in this position. I want to be in this position more and more to be able to help other people. But at times, my mind just gets in there and it starts saying, well, I deserve this, or I deserve that, or I deserve this. And Christ reminds us to be humble. He came in the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. This is God who was born in the likeness of men. This is God who came down on our behalf. And let me tell you, I'm going to read a verse here from Isaiah chapter 14. You can start turning there. Isaiah chapter 14, I'm going to read a couple verses there that I think if we would take out our knowledge of understanding who this person is that we're going to read about, that you and I could probably stand in front of a mirror and this be read about us at some time. Because we take that stance sometimes against God that says, I am God and you are not. I am God of my own life. I should have my own choices. I deserve, and it becomes I. There are times that we have that in our life when we sin, and we don't say it verbally. We know not to say it verbally, but Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 talks about a huge contrast between that of Jesus Christ, who we just saw, who came in the form of a servant, being born as a man, to Lucifer, who fell from heaven, Satan. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, it says this, how you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, listen to this terminology, listen to Lucifer speak. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes. It will happen. Yes. But we are to live like this daily. You say, now one day, as a believer, my knee will bow. I mean, I've asked Christ into my heart. My knee's already bowed. I've asked Christ into my heart and everything. But I got up from the altar and now I'm standing on my own two feet. No. We live daily on the altar. We live daily on those knees that are bowing before God saying, not my will, but yours be done. Lucifer said, I will. Jesus said, thy will. Thy will, God. Thy will. As you make your U-turn today to humility, you must first recognize that we have to change our outlook. All of this to change our outlook. Our outlook must change from me and mine to understanding that Christ's terminology was others. Others. More than 20 times in the New Testament, God instructs us how to live with one another. Here are just a few. We are to prefer one another, Romans 12, 10. We are to edify one another, 1 Thessalonians 5, 11. We are to bear each other's burdens, Galatians 6, 2. We should not judge one another, Romans 14, 13. And we should admonish one another, Romans 15, 14. Others is the key word in the vocabulary of the Christian who exercises humility. Others, others, others. What can I do for others? Now, let's look at the second answer to today's question. How do I make a U-turn from being selfish to being humble? Number one was change your outlook. Number two is sacrifice yourself. And I know that yourself is one word, but I want to emphasize here, sacrifice yourself. That selfish desire. I know that it sounds really weird to hear things about sacrificing, right? But I can't get past the text. And in verses 7 and 8, look again. But he, Christ, emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus Christ became a servant. Jesus Christ became a servant. Do we remember what he left to come down to earth to do? Look at Matthew 20, 28. You can flip over there real quick. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. It says this, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ came to serve. Christ came to serve. And he, Paul, is reminding us that to be humble, we must also come to serve. I have an idea of what humility is. I don't think I've learned humility to its fullest, and I don't know if I will this side of heaven. I don't know. But I know some people who are humble. People that just resonate that idea of others and service. And I want to bring two people up that I see as being very humble, and they, I'm sure, are hating that I'm even saying this right now because that's how humble people are. But Tammy and Travis, if you guys can come up. And Tammy and Travis are members of our church that are missionaries now to the capital city of Managua in Nicaragua. And they're going to share just real quick. I wanted them to share just a little bit about what you've experienced now since you've been there in January, living full-time there in January, and came back here for a little over a week to have a relaxing time, which turned out to be gallbladder surgery for Travis. And then you're going to fly back down on Tuesday, right, and be back for whenever. Till whenever, right? So what have you seen so far that has been very humbling or in certain ways humiliating that you've seen in that culture with you and something completely different than what you've seen here?
One of the places I've had the opportunity to minister is in the dump just outside Ciudad Sandino. And when you go in, the very first thing you'll see is the fires burning and there's a horrible smell. It's a smell not only of decay but of the smog. And as you drive in, you just see trash gathered about. And what happens is every morning they come and they dump all the trash from the country in that side. And then the families come, the moms, the dads, the kids, brothers and sisters, and they spend all day piling through the trash. They're competing against dogs and birds looking for food. And then after they get done with that, then they'll burn the trash and they try to get recyclable metals so they can sell their plastics. We've been able to go inside, and we've been able to start a Bible study there. I have women there. My very first class, we had over 40 women. Mm. Now we have women that are bringing their kids. We have about 25 kids, and we have also about 6 men that kind of hang on the fringe and listen, which is amazing. But my very first class I did with them, I started just to try to start some fellowship. I wanted to know what was the best part of your day.
Right.
And nobody said anything. And I thought, well, okay, that was lost in translation. So I started again. You know, what made you happiest today? And there was nothing. Mm. And I was like, God, where do I go with this? You know, what I had planned is not going to work. Where do I go? And I really heard God say, show them my love. You're not going to be able to pull them all out. You're not going to change their physical life. But you can give them hope that only I can give.
Yes.
And that's where we don't. We've started in the book of John. We talk about his light being shining through the darkness. When it gets dark there, I've been there about 6 o'clock, it gets scary. There is no light. So we talk about how God's light is there regardless if there's physical light.
Wow. Travis, what about you?
Well, I want to say that this U-turn that Andy's been talking about, you know, we had to make a U-turn here when we lived here.
Yeah.
Before God would ever bless us to be down there. And so it is a blessing to be down there. It doesn't seem like people come up to us and say, man, you're down there. It must be rough. But really, and it is rough, but God has blessed us and he's made it to where it's a joy to be down there, to be serving. Yeah. So I don't understand it all. But I do understand that serving and humbleness, and it had to start here before we served to go down there. There's a lot of things. Kind of my ministry is a little different because I'm not good at preaching out of the Bible or doing ministry. Mine's more or less alongside working with men down there, and specifically Project Hope does a ministry for. Are a rehabilitation center for guys that are about 16 to 25 years old. And probably, I mean, every day is a humbling experience, but probably one thing that sticks out in my mind is when I came down with this gallbladder issue, I couldn't go out to the center for a few weeks. And one of the guys out there that's in the center, and these guys are guys that maybe came out of the dump, maybe came off the streets. You know, they've been on drugs, they have had felonies or whatever, you name it. He called me up and asked me how I was doing. You know, so here's a guy that's been at the lowest, and he's concerned about me. So that humbled me, and showed that God is really working everywhere, all the time, and that here's a guy that was in the lowest, and it's working on him to be concerned about somebody else other than himself. So that's probably one of the most gratifying experiences I've experienced.
Amen. Thank you guys very much. I mentioned in the first service that they also experienced a wedding at the landfill there. And I love it that you have Bible study there. And Tammy was like, well, I'm not trying to get them into the churches to get them to relocate to the church. I'm going to go where they're at. And so I remember just watching your text messages and stuff through living vicariously through my wife, because she'd have her phone right there texting with you back and forth. And Sarah just turned to me and be like, oh yeah, Tammy's just making chairs out of the dump, you know, and picking it up and having the Bible study. And then she showed me pictures of this wedding. I'm like, that's beautiful. And then they kept getting further back, and then there's this big picture, and it's like, that wedding's at the dump, you know? And I'm just like, man. And so, you know, what do you wear to a wedding at the dump? It's just, you just go. I love that. I love that. I love that God has moved in your all's heart like this, in the way that, man, that's how you serve. That's exactly, Travis, why that guy asked you how you're doing. Because you're in the ditches with him. You're rubbing shoulders with him. And that's what people do. That's how we grow. That's how we expand the kingdom of God, is we get on our knees and we live with each other and we offer others our help and we love one another. We become this kind of, have this kind of humility that Jesus had. Well, Dr. J.H. Jowett has said that ministry that costs nothing, accomplishes nothing. Sometimes I wonder, have I accomplished anything lately? And if that's the case, is it because I've tried to do ministry without it costing anything, but it's just being very, very surface? You may be thinking, I'm so glad you're preaching this today, Andy, because I know some people who really need to be making sacrifices. But my question to you is, what sacrifices are you willing to make? I find the Christian life so interesting. Throughout Scripture, we see the more we give, the more we receive. The more we sacrifice, the more God blesses us. Is it costing you anything to be a Christian? And your answer may be no to that question. If it is, you've probably seen throughout today's scripture that you are struggling with humbly submitting to God's authority in your life. Maybe at this point you're ready to ask the question, how do I make a U-turn from being selfish to being humble? Well, first of all, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, that's the first step. If you haven't given Him your life, if you have trusted Christ, but you haven't been baptized yet, that would be your first step today. If you're a follower of Christ and you've been baptized, but you've recognized today that you need to make a U-turn in your life toward humility, then I would just ask of you this: change your outlook. Change your outlook and sacrifice yourself. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would again have your way in this invitation, and that your Spirit would move, and that lives would be changed, and people would come to know you as their Savior, and people would come forward to be baptized and make a public testimony of their faith in you, and to not be ashamed to stand in those baptismal waters and say that I am a child of the King. And Lord, for those who are struggling with humility, which again may be every single one of us, God, I pray that we would take heart this message of changing our outlook, that I would see who I am supposed to be through your lenses, Father, that I would see the world through your lenses, and I would be way more humble and bow down and serve. I need to submit to your authority and to look at your example and follow it. God, we need to deny ourselves. We need to do ministry that costs us everything. We need to be so ready to do whatever it is you ask us to do, whether it's pick up and go to Nicaragua or it's to pick up and go to work tomorrow and be a minister for you. To be at home with our children and raise them up in the way that they should go. Father, I just pray that in this time of invitation that we would just seriously consider what our response is going to be to this message, and that we would pray to you that you would give us strength to do exactly that. In Jesus' name, amen.